Or was it Calvin? It was Calvin. And there's a, even now, there's a Reformed Christian, American Reformed Christian Church that still, on their website, says, in accordance with the wishes of John Calvin, we only sing the Psalms. Isn't that interesting? Second question. When you read the Psalms, they sort of start to feel a little similar, familiar. Is it possible that the same psalm appears twice in the Psalms and you've never noticed? The answer is yes. I didn't know it until a couple years ago. I can't believe it. It's like I'm asleep. It's like, oh yeah, praise the Lord. There's one psalm that appears twice. And we know, because of that, we know that these were collections of psalms that people put together. Okay, which ones do we believe are the God's word? So it's Psalm 14 and Psalm 50. How about that? At the end, there's just, okay, if you want to be a technical person, at the very end, there's some little tiny changes. And also, if you want to go online tomorrow when the manuscript goes out, there's a couple other places where like chunks of six verses appear many times. So you're not making it up when you're like, I think I've read this before. So it is in the Psalms that way. Here's a question that everybody will get, right? How many Psalms are there? 150, very good. Number four, I think most of you know this. Which one is the longest Psalm and why is it so long? I think you... 119, and why is it so long? There's a reason. It's the structure of it. It's an acrostic, and there's eight verses for each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so those eight verses, each of them start with Aleph or Bet, or go too far, I'll get in trouble. It's an acrostic. That's why there's 176 verses, because it's 22 plus times 8. So it's a nice long one like that. Some of your scriptures, every 8, it'll say, you know, gamma or something like that. It'll have the heading depending on what kind of Bible you have. Fourth question. This is sort of tricky, and because I said tricky, you're going to know how to answer it. David wrote the Psalms. True or false? True, but qualified, right? If you read the headings on the Psalms, there are 73 where it says a Psalm of David. And also, in addition, there are those that say at the beheading, they're by Moses, Solomon, Heman, Ethan, Asaph, and a couple others. So if you want to get the reference on those, you can Google it or you can look at the sermon tomorrow. Here's a bonus question. This is for American Christians, people who were raised in the United States. Does Psalm 23 have a magical power to provide protection for you from evil? For some reason, in our culture, we think that Psalm 23 is like a magical incantation, right? So, in the scriptures, certainly have the power of Christ in them. But probably no more than any other scripture, right? Sorry to tell you that. Okay. So would the young people please come forward and make sure that everybody gets a couple. And I'd say, you just don't. Okay. And if they don't want the coconut, whatever, they're going to have to trade later, okay? Just get them the trade later. Thank you for participating in our All Souls Day quiz. Now, last week we were in Job, and Job, is it distracting? I have all these beautiful young people moving through the congregation. I'll wait a minute.
Can't eat nuts, so won't take long anyway.
And if there's leftover, we'll just put the basket. Debbie said Chase was so generous, he just gave out all the candy. There was none left for her. So if that was the case in your house, we'll put the extra bowl in the back and you can have a couple. Never get too old for candy. Make sure Shane gets some too, the pianist. Okay, so we'll just put the bowl. Would you put it on the back where the bulletins are and let people just take a couple as they go out? Thank you, young people. That was kind of you to do that. Okay, so Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon are grouped together as wisdom literature. Unlike the other wisdom books, the other ones, Psalms actually does teach the salvation history of Israel along with having the wisdom. For example, in Psalm 105, Psalm 106, we hear the history of God delivering his people from Israel. It's like a song. It's like a repetition. The Psalms from ancient times have been divided into five sections. They're like collections. I won't read those for you. You can Google it or you can go online and look at it tomorrow in the manuscript. Scholars have developed different categories of psalms, such as those for public worship on special days, series of songs when you're climbing up to Jerusalem for a festival, laments over affliction, pleas for healing and social restitution, or just plain joyful thanksgiving for God's deliverance. A psalm may not fit neatly into any or all of these categories. The most disturbing psalms are the ones that call for curses on the enemies. Psalm 137, 8 and 9 calls for the violent retribution for Zion's destruction. And it calls for the dashing of your enemy's infants onto the rocks. You just can hardly believe that this is in our scripture. In Psalm 129, verses 4 through 8, the enemies have oppressed God's people, and the psalmist calls for the enemies to be shamed publicly. He calls for them to have a poor harvest, and he calls for God not to bless them. These are very difficult psalms, and if anyone has ever hurt your child or destroyed your nation or done something violent to you, you understand certainly the desire for those things to come to your lips for a minute. What about the overall structure of the book of Psalms? If you have a Bible in front of you, and if you feel comfortable doing it, would you open it to Psalm 1? You know, if you split it in the middle, it almost always comes to the Psalms. Unless you have the Apocrypha, then it skews it. Psalm 1. Were you here when we talked about wisdom literature? I guess it's going to take too long for you to... Do you remember Psalm 1? Were you here when we talked about wisdom literature? This psalm, Psalm 1, opens with the two ways. Blessed are those who walk in the way, and the wicked are like chaff. So that's how it opens. Job ends... And it goes immediately, in our English canon, it goes immediately to Psalm 1, the two ways open to human beings. Now turn to the last psalm. It comes up and down, up and down. There's a lot of movement in the psalms. But look at the last psalm, Psalm 150. In Psalm 149, it does talk about the destruction of enemies, but Psalm 150 ends the same way that Job does. If you just take a look at it, you'll see that there's no enemies here. There are no explanations, but only God's presence and the praise of his people. So in a sense, there's no structure to the book of Psalms because we hear lamentations and praise, lamentations. It's not like they're organized into categories. But if we look at the book as a whole, generally speaking, that last section of the book is just praise. It goes from the wisdom of the righteous will be honored and the wicked will be cast away. And it ends up with, you know, all we are is in the presence of the Lord. All we can do is give thanks, not to think that we're righteous, not to be just, thank you, Lord, here we are. So in that sense, there is a structure to the book of Psalms. Each psalm also, of course, stands alone as scripture. They are written in our voice, the voice of people who love God and struggle with our lives. The book of Psalms is unusual in that instead of, thus says the Lord, we hear, this is my cry, O Lord. It is the voice of people crying out to God. Throughout scripture, you will find many places where people cry out to God. But in the Psalms is a full expression of all the things that are in our hearts, and they are being directed right to God's heart. Hopes, dreams, distress, fears, thanksgiving, doubt, fear, panic, hope, love, trust, all of those things. The Psalms are the voice of God's people in public and private worship, and they invite us to also speak what is in our hearts before the Lord. So let's go to Psalm 146. It's in your bulletin where we read it. Psalm 146 addresses our doubts and fears about where God's presence is in the world. Just so many voices, so many people telling us different things. Each of Psalms 146 through 150, the last five there, begin and end with praise the Lord. They begin with praise the Lord and they end with praise the Lord. Each of the Psalms, 146, 47, 48, 49, and 50. Someone gave me this when I started on my path to serving the church. It's a book of common worship daily prayer. Now, the big one that I use for public worship is a big book. This is for private prayer, and along with the weekly scripture lessons for the Sundays and for church holidays, this is for daily prayer. And many of you use different kinds of books and helpful guidelines for daily prayer, but this is also another option. And in our book, this is our Presbyterian Book of Common Worship Daily Prayer. Psalm 145 is added to that unit of 146 through 150. And we read those every week. Every Sunday is Psalm 150, just pure praise. And then beginning on Monday, we start with 145, and then we go, Psalm 147 is split into two so that it works. It's kind of a long psalm, so they split it into two. So in this is just a human system to help people. Psalm 145 to 149 from Monday through Saturday, and then every Sunday, Psalm 150. Psalm 146 is also in the Jewish morning prayers. It is a blessedly clear and simple psalm. There aren't a lot of really complicated things to worry about in that psalm. Psalm 146 clarifies that human leaders and institutions have limits on their effectiveness and on their duration. Every kingdom of earth will end. Psalm 146 rejoices in the kingdom of God, which has no end, which is eternal. Especially, we are instructed to notice where God is giving his attention on earth. And it is on the people that God has created, not the kingdom of God. It's the people who form the kingdom of God. We are told that God is the creator, that he is the sustainer of life, and that he shows his heart in care for the rich and powerful. No, although he loves them too. For this is straight from the psalm: the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, the bowed down, the aliens, the fatherless, and widows. This to God is the focus of his attention on earth and the focus of the kingdom of God. And you know, this is not them. This is us. Please read it not as, oh yes, we must look out for the less fortunate. This is God seeing us and making us the center of his concern. Psalm 146 tells us that God loves the righteous, whom he's described above, and that he frustrates the wicked. The righteous are not the great and powerful, but the weak. These are the identifying marks of the kingdom of God and those who follow God. And that question that Eloise also used, are you the one, or should we look for somebody else who's going to be the coalition of God's voice to us? You know, Jesus refers to this psalm 2 times in Luke. In Luke 4, and again, you can either Google it or look it up in the manuscript tomorrow, Jesus uses these words from Psalm 146 and from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, exactly what Woody said. He opened up the scroll to identify God's kingdom coming with Jesus. And in the same way, in Luke 7, Jesus tells, that was the one where Jesus is preaching. And then this next one is the one that Eloise used for the story time. Tells John the Baptist that this is how he will know who the Messiah is. It's not about destroying your enemies or establishing some kind of an institution, but it's just unbelievable. It is unbelievable that that is how God identifies himself, by his care for the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, the bowed down, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows. So this psalm appears in the words of Christ, and as Jesus read the psalms, his attention was drawn to Psalm 146. You can be sure that Jesus read this psalm ahead of us, and he understood his mission from this psalm. An appeal to the community of Zion begins and ends this passage. This is the kingdom of God. This is the people of God. If you could take out that little piece of paper that has the Psalm 146 in your bulletin, let's recite this together and learn how to be children of God. You know what? I better copy it off this one instead of my Bible in case it's a different translation. Okay. Let's recite together. Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 146. Please join me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen.